Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen back here in the beautiful Bay Area after my journey into Ghana. And first off, I want to thank my, you know, just total awesome backup, my goddess of efficiency, producer Kina, who was able to hold things together and keep things going while I was gone. And, you know, much thanks to her on that. And also a great big thank you to Norbeth Granato, who filled in as my, you know, my guest host. So, you know, I'm just really so grateful to have, you know, this type of backup so that I can go and do the things I need to do and still know that things are being run very well. So it has been truly a there and back again experience. And it is always interesting that when I have an opportunity to travel to other countries and to experience different types of cultures, their spiritual practices, what are their healing methods? And it's almost the case in some ways that, you know, the more different we are, the more we're the same. Because the really, you know, there's different ways of doing things. You know, many, many different rivers will lead to the same ocean. And when you look at traditions from around the world, that especially those that are centered around healing, you can find this huge variety, and yet there are certain core things that are very, very similar. The idea of incorporating that aspect of really focusing in on the humility of what you're doing, of asking the universe for that special consideration, whether it's to heal someone or whether it's to help out for, you know, to bring rain to an area that's been experiencing drought. And when you look at the people who are the practitioners, no matter where they're from, the really solid ones, they have made this their life. Healing is their way. It is their work. And when I travel and I look at it, especially places that have a lot of poverty, and there is huge poverty in Africa. And we also have that here. I'm not saying, oh, well, you know, our homeless are, you know, not as bad as they're homeless. And in some cases, it goes to a level that is just unbelievable. And when people are the community healers and when they focus their lives and their work on that, it really is a life work. One woman who I was totally honored to be able to spend time with and felt so very welcomed by is a woman who is a healer in an area, sort of an outlying area of the capital city of Accra. And her name is Ajima Walum. And she was just amazing. She was out in this place that looked kind of almost like a compound type of thing. And there were people everywhere. And there were people from France. There were people from Germany. And then there were all the local people there. But it was just this sea of people who were there to be helped and to be treated. And she walked through, and she's been doing this. She was initiated into this work when she was a teenager. And she's 57 now, does not look it at all. She, there's something, if I were to look at her, I would say she was probably somewhere in her mid-40s. But there is also this sense of such an old spirit that was within her, someone who spent every single day doing this work. And people were coming and going, and she would just move around and move through, you know, what must have been over 100 people, maybe 150. And she was just moving through them and just focusing on each one. And, you know, someone would get a particular group of plants and combination, or they would make a special soap and that person would be washed with it. Some of it was energy work. Some of it was herbalism. And just to see the concentration and the focus that she worked with. And I was thinking, wow, that's, you know, I mean, I consider myself someone who spends a lot of time at work, spends a lot of time at the office. Either I'm working chiropractically or I'm doing energy work with someone or I'm teaching. And watching her, it was just amazing. And knowing that this was her life every single day, that was her calling, that was her way. And when I think about the dedication that's needed, now there are different levels of that type of focus. Yes, you can go and do like the Mother Teresa route or like Ajima, you know, what she was doing. And you can do it at a lesser level. You don't have to have it be all or nothing. And in my own work and in my own life, and when I know that I have to take that time to rejuvenate and I need to take a day, at least a day during the week, for me it's Wednesdays, that's the day I claim for myself that I need to be able to take that time to step away, and knowing that that's not an option for her. And one of the people who was there said that usually she's up most of the night and she monitors the energy. She watches for spirits because, you know, that their, you know, their belief system also includes that aspect of the spiritual world crossing over, and, you know, for some of the people who were sick, that there may be a spiritual aspect, there may be an energetic aspect. And most of the people there said that any time they wake up, they see her awake. And one of her helpers said, well, maybe she sleeps 3 to 4 hours a night and then just does her thing. And part of it is that place of, okay, what is it that I want to invest into this life? Because believe me, it will take everything that you have. This work will take everything that you have. The question is, do you truly need to give it everything you have? You can work very hard, you can be there for people, and in many cases, it's very difficult to make a living doing healing work. Unless you're in a situation where, say, like, you know, in her work, basically everybody comes there and, you know, people pay whatever it is that they can afford to pay. And so that is her livelihood. I feel tremendously blessed that I can make healing my livelihood and that I can be able to work, do what I do, and not have to do something else. And that is the difficult piece, because a lot of folks who want to be healers feel very badly because they can't dedicate to it full time because they've got bills to pay. They've got, you know, they may have a family that they need to take care of. And there's no fault in that. If you can do it full time, and also there's that part of that that you become a very astute business person. You realize how much you have to promote yourself. Promoting is a full-time job in and of itself. So if you have an opportunity to work with healers and to be able to do that and just do it as you can, every little bit helps. Every aspect of putting out something good in the universe, putting out something good in the world, helping somebody else to be a little bit softer and a little bit gentler and a little bit happier and healthier in this life and in your communities, that means a lot. Every single little bit helps. Every amount of healing means something. and spending time with people who, as a part of their culture, that is what they do. That is all they do. And it is 24/7. You know, they could be asked at any time to do something, whether it's, you know, they're a healer that we come to, or whether it's Ajima's way of just being there and just having people there constantly. Either way, it is a life dedication. It is a choice. It is a legacy. It is a lineage that when you're a part of something like that, it is tremendously powerful and it is tremendously humbling. And probably over the next several shows, we'll be talking about aspects of the adventure that I went on and the fact that it tested very much so everything that I ever learned. Often I talk about the fact that everybody has sort of their toolkit, and it could be your spiritual toolkit. It could be your, gee, this is how I cope with the world toolkit. This is how I deal with my work. And the tools that we have in our toolkit allow us to be able to build much bigger and much better. If all you have is a hammer, then all the world has to be a nail. If you only have one way of dealing with life's stress, well, if that particular way doesn't work, you're kind of stuck. As a healer, I have many different things that I want to be able to access, even just in chiropractic alone. If I only knew one way to adjust people, I would have a very limited practice because not everybody can be adjusted any, you know, in one particular way. There has to be an ability to move back and forth and to be able to adapt to the situation that you're addressed with. If I only knew one way to adjust and I physically could not adjust someone that way, I would be, my hands would be tied. I would be left with no option but to send them to somebody who could adjust them. So I do a lot of study in different types of techniques. The same thing applies to working with energy or spiritual healing. That, along those lines, you want to have as many possible tools as possible. Now, there's the concept that, you know, those who kind of dabble and jump into a whole bunch of different things just to experience it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But the tools that you're using with people, you want to make sure that you are really invested in that, that you're really proficient in that. It doesn't matter how many tools you have, but make sure that you know how to use each one really, really well. And as I was being trained, I've been in formal training for 10 years now. And as I was moving up through my training, the main focus was introducing me to as many different tools as possible to be able to adapt to as many different situations as possible. And among those tools were how to take care of myself, how to hold my energy, how not to get depleted, how to manage different types of energetic fields, how to work with different type of practitioners and not have it go into a rough place because, you know, people are conflicting over, well, this is the way I do it and this is the way I do it. So I really feel now more than ever that I was very blessed in the training that I had because it allowed me to be able to step out and walk in many, many different ways. So Ghana is an amazing energetic place. Africa holds this primal sort of energy to it that has both immense light and immense shadow. And historically, you know, there are many areas that even today are still in a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of, you know, imbalance. There's a lot of clash, a lot of conflict. And There are beautiful, amazing, wonderful people who, even in the face of extreme poverty, will still smile and say, you know, welcome. The word that they use is aguava. And when somebody comes up to you, aguava, that means welcome. And that is a standard greeting. And it's not just something they say. When they say it, you can feel it from them. You can look in their eyes and say, wow, I really do feel welcomed. And, you know, while yes, you have to be careful whenever you're traveling internationally and even locally, it's always important to use basic common sense, to follow some basic guidelines. You know, try not to wander off by yourself. You know, make sure that you have contact people there. Make sure there are people who kind of know where you're going and what you're doing so that if something does happen, there's somebody who knows about, you know, what you're doing. My nephew, Akeem, who my niece met him when she was in Ghana studying poverty for a college trip. And they met and fell in love, and it was amazing. And I could not have picked a better man for my niece. I just adore Akeem. And part of my trip was to go and meet his family because I would be the first one from my family, I mean, other than Emily, to meet them. And it was amazing, the level of welcome that I received. It wasn't that I was an in-law. It was I was family. And even in situations where, you know, maybe they didn't have a whole lot of food, I was given the lion's share in order for me to be welcome and for them to demonstrate how welcome I was. And it was amazing and humbling and very intense on occasions. And there were places where I definitely felt out of my element. And in that in those situations, I was very grateful to have somebody there who would be able to speak the language and negotiate and kind of pave the way for me. So anybody who is planning on taking one of these trips, especially if it's a spiritual trip, because there are so many opportunities to connect with other cultures and to be able to, and in many cases, if you come in, you come in politely, you come in with humility, it really is amazing they will share with you and how they want people to understand what their culture is about. And the key is coming in from that place of humility. So in having had this experience and having walked these roads and gone into the jungle and interacted with some amazing, amazing healers, I mean, just on a scale that I really had never seen. And to be accepted as one of them, to be welcomed as one of them, you know, to be told, whatever you want to learn, we will teach you. And yes, I had to demonstrate certain qualities. I had to demonstrate certain abilities and a certain willingness to surrender myself to the process and to not be in judgment of how they do their work. Because there were aspects of it that were very different from what I was accustomed to, and that did not make them any less sacred. So when having an opportunity to experience that, it is important to be able to set aside what you've learned and your way in order to be able to reach out and to get everything you can out of what is generally a tremendously rare experience. I know that there are not a whole lot of people who have been able to witness the types of things that I've been witnessing and that I've been blessed to, and to have a chance to, you know, sit down and work one-on-one and knowing that I'm from a different country. Yes, I will be going back to Ghana each year because I'm being trained. And it has been a very, very long time since I've been able to enjoy the pure joy of just being a student. And that's important because it's wonderful to have abilities and tools and things, and there is nothing like coming into something brand new and to be in that place of where everything is just exciting and amazing. While I was relaxing, one of my few relaxing days, I went and I got my hair braided, which is tremendously cool and was very practical considering the tremendous heat that was there. So it made it very low maintenance. And just sitting and having my hair braided and, you know, the women chatting back and forth. And I thought, you know, really, other than the language, I could be sitting in any hair salon anywhere. I mean, this was just a tiny little shop that was, you know, basically a shed next to the sidewalk. But it was still, the spirit of it was exactly what I would have experienced. Yeah, I didn't speak the language, but I knew when they were talking about their husbands or boyfriends or men in general or talking about their children, it was essentially, except for the words being used, it had the exact same feeling. You know, we're not so different as some might. And while, yes, there are some things culturally that are a little bit different, still, when you go to the heart and spirit anywhere, children laughing, are children laughing in any language? Children crying in any language sound the same and still make you want to help. So when having the experience of being able to step out of the world that you know, and it doesn't matter what world that is. My nephew Akeem came from Ghana, and the first time he had been on a plane was flying to America with my niece, and they live here most of the time. And I know it must be really hard to be separated from his culture. I was there for 2 weeks, and while I was amazed and really enjoying what I was experiencing, there was that part of me that was looking forward to coming home, to be with my family, to be in my familiar surroundings. And for those who come to America, and it may be 2-3 years before they see their families, that would be tremendously hard for me. And I know it must be tremendously hard for him. When I saw him with his mother, he hadn't seen her in 2 years. And, I mean, it was just so touching to see her hugging him and how she looked at him and how she held him. And I don't know how many of us as moms would be okay with having your child, you know, many thousands of miles away and you can't be there for them. And you have to only share a limited amount over the phone. So the world is not quite so big a place as it used to be. When we think of the internet, when we think of, you know, I know that I have people who call me, you know, who call in, who have listened to the show from Australia and Singapore and India and England and from all over the world. And so the world is not quite so big as it once was. Technology has enabled us to reach out to one another over vast distances. I mean, people who have Facebook friends don't even think anything about chatting online, even though they're thousands of miles apart. So the world is not as big as it used to be, and it is still quite vast. There's still so much in the world that each of us can find out, cultures that we can learn about. And being able to experience that firsthand is awesome. But if you can't, you can still read about it, go online, look at things about it, find local people that are a part of that, and talk to them, ask them about what it's like in their home, and really listen. It is such a privilege for me to have had the opportunity. I was thinking the other day, I've done healing works in 7 countries on 3 continents. And it is amazing and humbling and enlightening and terrifying on occasion. And yet there's nothing that I would rather be doing in this entire world. And those travels may take me many different places. And yet, the whole point is I get to come back here and share all of that, to share the healing works. The stuff that I'm learning is going to be applied in what I do. And the fact that I can take work and healing from across the world and bring it back here and be able to share it and help people, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't get any better than that. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm pretty certain I can spend the rest of my life doing it, because I can't think of anything that I'd rather be doing. And the more I get to learn, the more I get to experience, the more connected I feel in this world, the more grounded I feel. And like I said, you don't have to go across the world. You can find ways to help and heal and bring just all that really good energy wherever you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're trained to do. It could be as simple as looking at a stranger and saying, wow, that's a really nice color on you. Or, gee, you just look so nice. You know, your smile is very nice. That can change the world. That can create healing. So when you have the chance to be able to bring healing in, wherever it comes from, whatever your tradition, if you have a tradition maybe that you grew up with, see if you can find out if anybody is still doing that, to incorporate that in. Many of these traditions have a tendency to die out because of the fact that the next generation doesn't learn it, and they're too valuable. So whether it's around the corner or around the planet, find something that you can be able to do, to learn, to get good at, and enjoy it and share it. Find out about it. Because we can never have too much healing. And the more you learn, the more you can do. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this time with me. And we will be back next week. And I just want to thank all of you for being there, and for those who listen in archives, wherever you are, I wish you blessing. I wish you healing. I wish you balance. And I wish you the opportunity to find something that you are so passionate about that you would do for free. And then I wish you the opportunity to find a way to be paid very well for it. Abundance is available. It's there. And I wish it to every single one of you. Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care.